أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله on this beautiful day of Jumu'ah we are yet again gathered in the sacred and noble house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to praise and glorify him and also to increase our knowledge our taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially via our salah. Alhamdulillah, over the last few days we've been delving into the depths of Suratul Fatiha. We began with the ta'awuz, we did the tasmiyah, and now we're coming into the Fatiha and we've done Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Today, inshaAllah, Al-Aziz will continue forward on Maliki Yawmiddin. Just a quick recap on yesterday's discussion. It was a very important one, reminding us about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the enormity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our master and us being the slaves and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How in spite of him being our master, we still have the option to choose and decide and to make the decisions that we either obey Allah or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of our disobedience or neglectfulness, continues to provide for us and sustain us and nourish us and protect us. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden us beyond our capacity. Neither does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish us because He continues to give us the opportunities to fix ourselves, to correct our ways and to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the true meaning of a master and the true understanding of how we should be as servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming on, now we will do Maliki Yawmiddin, the next verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. And Malik is also a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means the owner, the sovereign, the king that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So whilst in the previous verse we discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahim. And we also quickly touched upon the fact that Rahman means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will be upon us and also upon non-Muslims as well, because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that they are also sustained and protected and nourished, etc. But Rahim, which is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Muslims on the day of Qiyamah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will truly show the majesty and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the dunya, yes, we need the Rahman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His name, but we also, most importantly, should always look towards the Rahim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work towards that on the day of Qiyamah. So after all of these praises and glories and understanding and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the Lord of all of the worlds and creation and everything that we know and do not know, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most beneficent and the most merciful and continuously merciful, and He is our Lord, our Master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us also a slight warning as well. So not to become slack and not to fall into a form of apathy or laziness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and He is perpetually merciful. He will forgive you in the dunya, and inshaAllah we have the hope that He will forgive us in the hereafter. But in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Maliki Yawmiddin, that Allah azza wa jal also know and realize that He is mighty, He is just, He is the king and He is the sovereign, and He will also take you to account. Many people, obviously, sometimes we live under this assumption that Kuni Allah khair karsi, Kuni Allah maaf karsi. This is what we say, we make these very, very general statements. But in Surah Al-Fatiha, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with all of these beautiful things and reminders and reassurances, but then also says, you know, be alert as well. Don't just become lazy, don't just think it's going to be an easy path and you're just going to be a worthy recipient of my mercy, but also I am the mighty and I am the just and I am the king and I am the sovereign as well. So Maliki Yawmiddin, so don't be distracted with the dunya, with the delusions of the dunya, and constantly remember the hereafter, because Malik is the owner and the master of the day of judgment. And there's variations in the recitation of this particular ayah of the Quran. There is Maliki, where we stretch the ma. We say Maliki Yawmiddin, which means master of the day of judgment. And when you say Maliki, then it means the king of the day of judgment. And when you say mulki, then it means the sovereign of the day of judgment. When you say milki, then it is the day of judgment belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whichever way or form you think, in all capacities, in all forms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king, is the sovereign, is the master, is the owner of everything in the universes, including us. And therefore we will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and we will be accountable for all of our deeds, for all the good and for all of the bad, for all of the right and the wrong that we did, the decisions that we made. We will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking that into account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. That who has true ownership, who has true dominion, who has true sovereignty, who is the true king and the master on this day, when everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy everything, every single thing in creation will be destroyed. Allah will say, now where are those people that used to claim that they were the kings, they were the rulers, they were the people in control and they had power and they had might? Who has it now? No, nobody has it except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. None other than only and solely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should also heed this warning and constantly remember that we are going and returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the small or the finite time that we have of ownership here in the dunya, when we accumulate some wealth, we accumulate some land or some cars or some properties, and we think, oh, we're owners, Asibari Chaudhry, Asibari Raji, Asibari this or that, or we're great people, you know, we're very rich and we're very affluent people, and we have so much under our control and our dominion. But when you leave with absolutely nothing. You do not take anything with you whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, is this the arrogance that you showed in the dunya, that you thought you were it? You thought that you were the master and the king and the controller of your affairs and the affairs of all of the world? What are you? What do you have today? What power do you have? So this verse is a very, very powerful one, where it is reminding us the true king and the true master, the true owner of the day of judgment, and how we constantly need to be preparing for our return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the master, who is the king. And we will have to present something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that we will be able to present will be our good deeds and be our bad deeds, the choices that we made in our life. So when we stand in our salahs, in our fatiha, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make those good choices, to be worthy of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Because on that day, there will be no shade. On that day, there will be no hiding away. There will be no running away. On that day, there will be no excuses. On that day of judgment, which is Malik Yawm al-Din, on the day of judgment, where will you go? Where will you hide? So you are taking yourself to account when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salam. Say, Allah, I'm doing all of my hisab kitab with you now, and I want to clear my heart. I want to clear my mind. I want to clear my soul. I want to bring myself to account and do my hisab kitab now. And when you are constantly, you know, when you do your accounts once a year, then it's very easy to forget along the way what you did, what you didn't do, what was good, what was bad. But imagine if you do your hisab, your accounts every single day. You'll be on every single small thing, nitty gritty, minor, major thing. You'll know every single thing. And then you'll be very, very careful about the things that you do on the following day, because you know whether you are in the red, whether you are in the green. So this is the opportunity when you stand in salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that realization that indeed you are accountable and you will be accounted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will be and is the master of the day of judgment. And the next verse that we continue on, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is a very important verse of the Qur'an, verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, because the first part up until now is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of you are glorifying Him, you are recognizing Him, you are extolling Him, and you're saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is for you. And now in this next verse, which is the second half of Surah Al-Fatiha, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you recognize that now, Allah, I need your assistance, I need your help, I need your guidance, I need your love, I need everything. And everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important acknowledgement and realization in the life of insan, then don't think you are who you are. Don't think you can become something great. You are nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is only with the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only via worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His guidance, can you actually achieve anything. So إِيَّاكَ, only you do we worship, na'budu. And to do true worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we've learned so far, is to worship with the heart and the mind and the soul, not just the body and not just with the tongue. So having that belief and that complete iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is then followed by your amal, and realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master, and without His consent, nothing can move. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in various verses of the Quran that not a leaf falls except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where that leaf falls and how that leaf falls. Nothing happens without the izn, without the permission, without the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are saying, Allah, we can't move without your izn. Imagine today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells your blood cells to stop, obviously working, operating, tells your mind to stop functioning, incapacitates you. What will you do? What can you do without the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is that realization that, Allah, I can't achieve anything without your guidance and without your help. I can't do anything in my life without you. So the importance and the centrality of your iman and the centrality of your actions towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the true helper, that He deserves, and He is the only one who deserves to be approached and to ask for help, for support and for assistance. It is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This realization is very important, because there comes a time in a person's life, even our children, they say, oh, I don't need your help anymore, mom. I don't need your help anymore, dad. I could do it on my own. It comes a time when your children say that, when your students will say that, and when they get married, they say, oh, I don't need any help. But then, do you need help? No, I'm fine. To see apna sambhalo. And we think that, you know, we're independent and we don't need anybody else. But the reality is, as human beings, as true servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we always need His help, we always need His assistance, we always need His guidance, always need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without that, we cannot achieve anything. And in this regard, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, and a very, very important and beautiful reminder and dua, he mentioned that, Ya ghulam, إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ, that I will, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas mentions that I was behind the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, O ghulam, you know, which means, O boy, O young one, I will teach you a statement, and be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. إِحْفَزِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَزْكَ, that if you are mindful and you protect Allah, keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the front of your mind in everything that you do, that I am drinking this, I am walking to the masjid, I am achieving this success in my life, in my family, with my children, with all of these things, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled me to do it. Because Allah allows my hands to move in this way. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed my mind to work in this particular way. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed me with intelligence, bestowed me with all of these things. It is all through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it means to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be mindful of Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you. That He will be with you, because you're constantly thinking and knowing that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, the Prophet alayhi wasallam continues that, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, that whenever you ask, whenever you need anything, always go and seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Ask the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no one more powerful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the master, He is the king, He is the owner, He is the one who commands everything in existence to continue and to operate. So if you want something, first port of call, and the only port of call, is actually with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want that madad, you want that help, you want that assistance, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek Allah's aid. And then he teaches him a very important realization to Sayyidina Ibn Abbas. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, know that if the entire creation were to gather together to do something to benefit you, and this is something, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ, that if all of creation, and today, how many billions and billions of people there on earth, all of creation, including the animals and everything else, if all of them were to come together, entire creation, to come together to benefit you, to help you and assist you, they would never be able to benefit you except via the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for you, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So true success, complete success, actual success, mother guidance, only actually ever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could have the greatest scientists in the world, you could have the greatest people, you could have so much money and everything else, but they cannot save a life unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for that life to be saved. They cannot help you or benefit you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to benefit you. However, you can go to the greatest doctors in the world and none of their dawaiya will work, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want that medicine to benefit you. And similarly, the other way, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that if all of creation, all of mankind were together to harm you, they would never be able to harm you except that for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So again, this teaching is a very, very important of true yaqeen, true iman and true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you want something, the only one who can give you something is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want success, if you want protection, if you want refuge, it is from and via only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only when He allows that thing to happen will you get any benefit in your life. And only when allows something to happen, then only and only then will you be able to be harmed. Otherwise, you can see these examples. All of the people around Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to burn him alive, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, "Don't touch my Habib. Qulna ya nauri kuni bardan wa salama." Be safe for him and be cool for him. All of the people came to, you know, to burn him alive. But no, Allah Ta'ala said, no, you can't, this can't happen. The own brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to harm him, wanted to kill him, throw him down a well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam, and he left the highest of the heavens and he traveled the fastest he's ever traveled in his life. He only traveled two times in his entire life, the fastest he's traveled. The worst time was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, and with his 600 wings he traveled as fast as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed him, and he came and he put his wing beneath Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam to catch his fall, to prevent any harm coming to him. And the other time when he came, when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was in a battle and the blood of the Prophet alayhi salam came out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to go and to stop that blood from falling onto the ground, and Jibreel alayhi salam with his wings was underneath there. So nothing can happen to you, no harm can ever come to you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it for you. And no good can come to you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it for you. And therefore, we as Muslims, we always turn to Allah and say, Allah, only you can help me, only you can benefit me, only you can guide me, only you can protect me, only you can give me this refuge. You, Allah, you, Allah, you. That's it, because everything revolves around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the cosmos. So turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying this with sincerity and conviction that إِيَّاكَ only and solely you na'budu, we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not worship the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We do not worship the awliya Allah. We do not worship anybody. The only one worthy of worship, of submitting, of surrendering, of bowing down and recognizing is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only one, true one, who can benefit us is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who can guide us is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that, you know, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that your job is only to remind them, because the guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts will either be sealed or open by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you come to your salah, understand these things, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our true master, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where we will go, and we will be accountable on the day of Qiyamah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can guide us and help us and assist us, who can alleviate us and remove our difficulties and problems. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insan cannot benefit you themselves inherently. It is only through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they are allowed to benefit you. And insan cannot harm you. It is only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to harm you will that harm ever come to you. Otherwise, nothing can ever come your way. So this is the real important to focus upon the iman, in the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we come to the next verse. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. So after إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, then we go to اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Again here we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember in the first part of Fatiha we are just praising and turning and recognizing and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now we are asking Allah, you know, I only worship you. Allah, I only turn to you. Allah, I only ask for your guidance. I only ask for your assistance. I only ask for your protection. Now, Allah, I ask for your ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, that guide me onto the established path, onto the straight path. Allah, I'm asking you the straight and established path. What is that path? That path is of Islam. The path is of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The path which is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we're asking Allah subhanahu subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dua, that show me the straight path. This is what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we as human beings in the dunya, we get lost, we go astray, and we lose ourselves in the darkness of the world, in our desires, in our whims, and in the dunya, in so many other distractions of the dunya. So in our salah we're saying, Allah, take me out of all of this darkness, minaz zulumati, and bring me towards the nur, bring me towards the path. Oh Allah, I am misguided, I am lost, I am astray. Oh Allah, show me the path. But it's not just sufficient for somebody to show you the path, then you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, also help me to follow the straight path as well. Because you know, everybody knows the M6 or the M5 goes this, but you actually have to get onto that road to get to your destination. So it's not just sufficient, Allah, show me the path. You know, Allah, I recognize I am astray, show me the path. Oh Allah, enable me to tread on the path, to stand on the path, to walk on the path, that establish that straight path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you're asking a third daraja, so the stages. The third daraja, the third stage is, not only let me see the path, not only let me walk the path, but enable me to remain steadfast on that path as well. Which means not going swaying this way, not swaying that way. We know we are the straight and narrow, we are in the middle, we are a balanced nation. We do not go to the extreme of one side or the laity of the other side. We are balanced, we are moderate in our akidah, in our iman, in our actions. We are not on either side of the spectrum, we are in the middle, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have created you as the moderate and the middle nation, that we are balanced. And even the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, whenever he had to choose between a difficult choice and an easy choice, he would always choose the middle path. And this is our path of Islam, that we are not extremists, that we pray, we do our five salah, but we also work, that we give our zakah, but we also spend on ourselves and our family as well, that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often, we also spend time with our family and our children, our community as well. There is a balance in our deen and our dunya, in our belief, in our society, in the world that we live in. There's a balance, there's a moderation. We do not go to extremes. We spend a time, there's a haq for your body, there is a haq for your family, there is a haq for the dunya, and there is a haq for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we equally do all of those haqs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So when you're asking for that dua, ihdi, that me, you're talking about yourself. You're not worried about other people, because remember, it's all about you at the end of the day. You will be accountable. You're not going to be responsible for anybody else. It's just between you and your Lord, how you prayed, whether you prayed, how you fasted, whether you fasted, how you did all of these things between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you the path, because in the dunya, we do forget the path and we do stop walking on that path. So show the path, see the path, and keep steady on that path as well. It's just like a rope, you know, it's very difficult to stay steady on that, but you have to stay in the middle and you have to stay balanced, because اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The sirat is that straight and established path of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has already elucidated and explained in the Quran, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنَعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. This is the path that you need to be on. What does it mean? It means that this is the way of life that you need to have. Not the way of life of celebrities or of footballers or of other people or people who are successful just in the dunya. These are not true success. True success is that success of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the truthful people who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the siddiqeen, of the shuhada, of those who have seen the reality and those who witness the reality and the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the saliheen, those who actually carry out righteous and honorable actions throughout their life. This is the straight path, the established path of iman, the established path of sharing the message, understanding the message, and propagating the message, the path of being truthful in all of your actions, in all of your affairs, the path of bearing witness and testimony to the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the deen, and the path of being pious and righteous in all of your actions. This is what it actually means to follow Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Shuhada and Saliheen, to have all of these qualities of within you, of iman, of truthfulness, of being a witness to the reality, and of being righteous and pious in all of your actions. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually teaching us of اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The company of the righteous makes you more practicing, it makes you more aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the company that you keep. If you are walking around with hooligans, if you're walking around with gangsters, this is how you will be judged. If you're walking in and out of pubs and clubs, this is how you will be judged. The way that you dress, the way that you behave, this is how you will be perceived by other people. But if you come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you walk with righteous people, honorable people, truthful people, people who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people whose faces look like Muslims, people who talk about the deen, talk about Islam, talk about the akhirah, this is that true path. So we have to be very, very careful of the company that we keep, because that company has the power to keep you on track, to keep you on the straight path and take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or equally, that company has the power to take you away from the path and towards drugs, towards alcohol, towards fornication, towards zina, towards adultery, towards misbehavior and all of other things because of the company that you keep. But if you follow the straight path of the prophets and the messengers and the salihin and the siddiqeen and the nabiyeen and mursaleen, then you'll never go astray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only talks about a path, but also says this is the path. These people have already gone. Sometimes somebody tells you some route and you think, oh, this is a very, very difficult route, I don't know if I'll be able to do it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has demonstrated to us via the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, via the previous messengers, via the Siddiqeen, the Saliheen and the Shuhada, that these people, human like you, had problems and challenges like you, but they still stayed on this path and they achieved the goal and they remained steadfast on this path and they stayed true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore you can do that too within your life as well. So Siratul Ladina An'amta, so that path, the path of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, an'amta, comes from ni'mah, from blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our deen is the greatest blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seeking knowledge, we seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way that we will get more blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These prophets, these messengers, these shuhada, these salihin, these siddiqeen, they submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They sacrificed their time and their wealth, their energy, their even their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they remained patient, they remained humble, and they remained truthful and honest no matter what, and they did da'wah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore these are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed. The ni'mah, the in'am, were upon these people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The in'am is not on the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who only work for the dunya, who work for the pleasures of the dunya, or for property, or for wealth, or for fame, and for all of these things. They will only have the naseeb in the dunya. They will not have any naseeb in the hereafter. And our entire goal is never for the dunya, because the dunya is temporary. Our goal is the hereafter, which is everlasting. Jannah is for eternity. We will live in there for eternity. And therefore, during our lifetime, the path we have to choose and stay on, the path is of truthfulness, of humbleness, of humility, of taqwa, of tahara. And the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the path of the nabiyeen, the mursaleen, the sadiqeen, the siddiqeen, and the shuhada and the saliheen. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly telling us, that don't just follow the prime ministers of the world, the celebrities of the world, the footballers of the world. This is not the path that I have blessed. This is not the path that I have chosen for you. These are not the qualities of people that I want you to follow. The mi'yar, the standard, is that of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is that of Abu Bakr Siddiq, is that of Umar ibn Khattab, is that of Usman ibn Affan, is that of Sayyidina Ali, is that of Imam Hassan Hussein, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Malik. This is the standard that we need to be following. These are the beacons of light whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, and not just the Elon Musk and the Jeff Bezos and all of these other people of the dunya. These are the true people of in'am. These are the true people that have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a very, very clear warning in the Quran again, because we just read these verses and we don't really reflect on them. So this is the path, the chosen path, the selected path, the established path, and these are the people who've walked the path, these are the people who are successful, and you need to be like these people. But don't be like these people. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ. Because after Sirat al-Ladina anamta alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Then we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then advising you and warning you that stay away from evildoers, stay away from those people who are astray, stay away from those people who have no belief, who have no iman, who have no aqidah, who have no loyalty, who have no connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of bad faith, the people of no faith, the people of bad actions, the people of corrupt belief, the people of corrupt actions, these are the people who are astray. These are the people upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger came upon. So غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ. We don't want to be like these people. We don't want to be like those people who received the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Up until now, we are constantly asking for His mercy, for His protection, for His refuge. Allah ta'ala saying, if you want my mercy and my refuge and my protection, this is the path. And this is how you follow the path, by following these people. Don't follow these misguided people, the people of no knowledge, the people of no aqidah, the people of no faith. Don't be like those people, because then you will receive only the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Dalin basically means those people who went astray without having the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here again, do you know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in An'amta mentions the Nabiyeen, the Shuhada, the Saliheen, the Siddiqeen? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is giving you a list. So don't be from those people who received the anger of Allah, and those people who were astray and went away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did they go astray? Because they never recognized all of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them. They never recognize the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within them. They never tried to achieve any knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remained ignorant throughout their entire life. So don't be from these people in your salah, that you come, you pray your salah, but you don't actually understand your deen. You don't understand the recitation. You don't understand the meaning. You don't understand any khushu. Don't be these people, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ghazab, His anger, His wrath will be upon you, because you are ignorant of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always, as a Muslim, we should be constantly learning more and more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more and more about our deen, so that we do not receive the wrath or the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are a category of people who never learned anything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with them, and they will receive the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other people who did receive the knowledge, some knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they did not practice it. Remember, I talked about certain categories. Those who never studied, never learned, and just ignored it, remained astray. And those who did learn a little bit, but they never acted upon that knowledge. They never acted upon that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very, very important for us to recognize, to learn about Allah, and then to implement that knowledge, and to increase that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we do not become misguided. We are not easily led astray, because when you have no knowledge, when you have no knowledge of a street, they'll say, go down this route, go down that route, go down that route. But when you have knowledge, you say, wait a minute, doesn't this road lead to that place? Doesn't this road end up here? When you have that knowledge, you are transformed, you're illuminated, and you know exactly what you need to do, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. But if you never learn, then you will be easily led astray by yourself, by the shaitan, and by other people. And if you do have that knowledge, you have to act upon that knowledge to transform yourself, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Surah Al-Fatiha is a very, very beautiful and comprehensive surah. I've just very, very quickly just touched upon the service of Surah Al-Fatiha. Inshallah, in the future we will go perhaps maybe at least 5 to 10 sessions just on the detail of Surah Al-Fatiha. But all of these things that we have studied thus far, hopefully inshallah al-Aziz, there will be an impetus for us to study the Surah Al-Fatiha a bit more, making it a bit more meaningful, and connect with our Surah Al-Fatiha from the beginning all the way to the end, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You should understand now what that means. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. And this is the life that we want to have, the knowledge that we need to have, and the people that we need to follow, and not صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So you can protect yourself from the anger of Allah. You can protect yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By knowing Allah, understanding Allah, loving Allah, following His path, following His deen, following the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and having all of these qualities of honesty, integrity, and truthfulness, and righteous actions, and being witness to the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, which is probably the most important thing, whenever you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, at the end we always say Ameen. It's very important to do that, because in its collective form, this is a dua that you are presenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A dua for protection, of guidance, of knowledge, for a dua for mercy and rahmah. They say, you always say Ameen. So individually when you're praying, you can say Ameen aloud, or when you're behind the imam, you say it sufficiently that you only hear it yourself. This is the according to the mazhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, that you say it just quietly enough for yourself to hear. Whereas in other mazhabs, they say it out aloud, which is also perfectly fine as well. So when you say Ameen, then the angels also say Ameen with you as well. When they say Ameen and your Ameen corresponds with their Ameen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that guidance, gives you that protection, gives you all of those things. So inshallah, hopefully we'll be able to have a much more meaningful Surah Al-Fatiha, ta'awuz and tasmiya, and also the sana of subhanakallahumma as well. And inshallah, we'll continue on in our journey to learn a surah, and then also go into the tasbihat and the ruku, and also the sajda, and hopefully finish before the end of Ramadan. And we'll also quickly touch upon the janazah and also some other prayers as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everything that we've heard today. Tomorrow inshallah we'll still have a session, so I still encourage you to come and also bring your family members as well. We're going to be discussing the importance of zakat. Zakat is an integral part of our religion, of our deen. And if it is not discharged, and if you do not fulfill it to the best of your ability, then you will still be responsible. This is a debt upon your head. And just like when, you know, if you do your accounts, if you've done them wrong, you know, the HMRC will send you a notice, and they'll fine you, and you still have to pay up. Similarly with zakat, if you haven't paid it for all of your the years where you were required to pay it, then when you pass away, that will still be over your head. And from your estate, that has to be paid out first before your inheritance is distributed to anywhere else. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that wealth that you accumulated and you did not give you the zakah, because zakah purifies your wealth. And that zakah will be changed into a snake, and that snake will wrap itself around your neck, and then it will bite you and say, this is the wealth that you kept. This is the wealth that you accumulated and you never gave zakat on this, and now your own wealth will come to destroy you on the day of Qiyamah. So it's very, very important that every single person, you know, the person who has those savings, whether they are male or female, they understand the zakat, how to calculate their zakat, and they discharge their zakat at the correct time. And if you have any pending for all of the year that you haven't, you need to calculate that in the best way. So inshallah, tomorrow we'll have a workshop on zakat delivered by Sheikh Dr. Suhail Hanif, who's from Cambridge Muslim College, and he's also the head of the National Zakat Foundation. So please do come, bring your family members so you can understand, because this is an act of ibadah as well. It's a pillar of Islam. It's an act of ibadah, just like salah and everything else. You need to know, you need to have knowledge, and you need to do it in the correct way for it to be accepted. And if it's rejected, then you'll be in big trouble, because on the day of Qiyamah, there's no ATM machines, there's no, you know, rebate. You have to pay up. And how will you pay up? Only by your good actions. You'll have to give it away, or you'll have to take on the sins of other people. So it's very, very important that we understand the importance. So please do join me tomorrow as well, inshallah, for the zakat worship. Jazakumullahu khairan.